one has to stop debiting out of your they want to stop using their ACH or stop that and react, or you know they're going to have to submit. Right, so that's what I'm telling you. So you're running your film today. And so it's not, I'm double checking if it will pull from your new account number. Well, both. I mean, however you want to do it. So if they'll still pull out of this account, and it's still going to be okay for the billing that's going to come out on June 15th, then that would be fine to leave it. However, if it is from that new account number, then we would have to have that difference. And so if you think it'll pull out, it'll be okay. Then we would need from you on our website, or you can come in and it just says stop debiting on this date, and you would provide a way to check it. Will you just go to Kaiser.org and then do department, and then you'll see finance, and under finance you're going to see utility billing. And then you'll look over to the left, it's going to say application. So you're going to want the first one and the second one. So the first one is auto pay. You're directly adding the account. Then you're going to want to cancel auto pay or change bank account. And you would need. But you would have to.
I think you're on mute, Adam.
That you're going to have to.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yes, yesterday or day before yesterday, I was on a Zoom call and it wouldn't use my mic, so I had to join by phone. But I think it was just because I had some Bluetooth things hooked up to it the day before.
Yeah, that could cause interference.
Hello, counselor.
So we
How's your day going, Roland?
Well, it's going very busy. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Good.
It's good to be busy.
Bill, it's pretty blurry behind you there.
I did that on purpose. I could do this. Let's see.
Figured. How do you put your picture, like a frozen picture? How do you do that, Bill?
You mean like that?
Yeah. Was there like a...
Up on the top left of the screen, there's a little box of dots in it, and it says, choose a background.
Holy what? No, not this one.
And yes, on the right side? The picture, that's my background. That is not a an internet picture. That's one I took.
If you go to where it says your video on or off, click that arrow.
On the bottom?
Yeah. Yeah, bottom left on my screen.
Okay. Sure, we'll true back one. Got you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. There we go.
Did you say you took that picture, Bill?
Yes, I did.
Where's is that in Argentina or where, Hawaii?
It's Kauai. It's the Nepali coast in Kauai. There's a viewpoint at the end of the road that you can look over. It's one of the only places from the land to see that view of the Nepali coast. Pretty much, if you want to see that coast, you need to be in a plane or on the water.
Yeah.
So, wow. It's a very iconic picture. You see the same shot in a lot of places when you look at publications and things about the Nepali coast, because literally it's one of the only places on land to get a shot like that. And we were lucky enough to be there on a day when you could see it. A lot of times you get up there and it's all clouded in, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
Hey guys, with all the shootings and stuff, when you work with elementary school kids, you know, quite a bit, that's a gut punch, man. It's ugly. It's horrible. I couldn't even think. Are we waiting on the chair?
We're just waiting for Mayor Clark.
Counselor?
We are in practice mode right now. So once we get going, I can start the webinar. And that way, if there's anyone who's attending, we can see them. So I guess I'll give it a minute or two to see if the mayor shows up for us.
Do we have guests right now?
I can't see him until I actually start the webinar.
Did we have any at the last meeting?
We did. We had one person, and that was the Kaiser Times reporter.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't in the minutes. It said nobody. So, and you had a 5 o'clock meeting.
I'm going to go ahead and start the webinar. We'll see if we have any visitors. That does not look like anyone poked their head in, so I think it's just us today.
Nobody here but us chickens.
There's Shane.
There she is.
All right. Okay. It says 9 participants. Okay. Oh, Shane jumped on. Okay, so this is round 2 for the work group for the turf fields, and want to get started with Adam, should we start with the information that you provided, kind of talking through the issues that we asked for some more data for?
We need to approve the minutes on the agenda first.
Thank you, Debbie, for keeping me on the straight and narrow. That's right, the minutes were included, my bad. Any additions, corrections noted by anyone? Councilor Herrera?
For clarification, meeting convened at 5 p.m.?
Yeah, I just noticed that.
And then you guys ended at 1. You pulled an 8-hour meeting. Yeah, that was just a little miss. I'm
putting all right, so they'll be out-corrected. That's why we review them. Anything else? Okay, motion to approve as corrected.
Second.
Okay, so I move and this is Kyle seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Nobody opposed? All right. I've got my, I'm trying to work off of one screen, which is always very frustrating. God, what a 2022 problem. Adam, take it away.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen because I've tried to put that research we did into a presentation. So let's see. I need Tim to allow me to share. Looks like that worked. Tim, does everybody see that?
Yep.
Got it.
Okay. So I'm gonna run through this. So so what I cover here is what the ask is, the grass turf versus artificial turf cost comparison, maintenance cost, partnerships, revenue generation opportunities, and the net impact. So the ask is they're looking for 2 artificial multi-use fields. I think mostly what we think of in multi-use fields is the football, soccer, and lacrosse is mostly what you see at high schools, but you can throw a softball or baseball field on there. This is just one example of doing that. Another one is where they might just have they could put it parallel or perpendicular to the end zone, and the outfield would fan over to it also. But rugby is also another possibility that plays on the same field as a football. When you get too much more than that, and it gets difficult for the players and the referees to keep track of what line is what. So the cost comparison for grass, you've got a higher annual cost and even amortized over with your equipment and upfront costs and replacement, it's still a higher annual cost because of the mowing, trimming, marking, and the chemicals you need for grass turf, especially for a sports field. And then you also get less hours available under a grass turf because it just can't handle the tear, wear and tear from impact sports hour after hour after hour. So the research that I found said the artificial turf can handle a lot more. It doesn't have to recover where grass does. So artificial turf, the high upfront costs are being answered by the ARPA funding. But if we create a sinking fund for the replacement turf, which is about a 10-year lifespan, then even with that, again, it's still cheaper than maintaining mowing 100 yards by 75, 80 yards times two. So still cheaper than trying to maintain the grass fields is from what I researched. These two fields are really consistent with the plan for Kaiser Rapids Park. This is pulled directly, the map on the right is pulled directly from the park's master plan. And it shows two multi-use sports fields plus parking. And I don't think it was anticipated that these would be turf, artificial turf, at the time it was written, but they're consistent in terms of being multi-use fields available. And so the thought that's been on my mind is if we want to actually build this master plan out, then it's going to cost something one way or the other. And from the research we've done, the artificial turf cost is less than the grass turf. So if we want to build that plan out, we're going to have to carve out some operating capacity that we may not have right now. So just these are figures I got off of the internet. We know everything on the internet is 100% accurate. So, but for what it's worth, this is grass turf maintenance, $18,000 to $44,000 a year per field. That's mostly going to be your chemicals, mowing, labor, equipment. Artificial turf annual cost with all that stuff included also is $6,000 to $10,000.
Hey, Adam, can I press pause for a sec?
You bet.
So just to, so Kyle and Roland, you know, what I've asked for was this first look to be as if we're the only ones in this game, that we get the money from Marion County. Can we do this? Then we can look at partnerships, other things for, and then we're going to get to that. But just as a baseline, if there was nothing else ever, can we do this? Or what would it cost for us to do this? So we would have good data as a baseline to start the conversation with. So I really appreciate the thoroughness of looking at this from a strictly city operations standpoint for starters. So I just want to throw that in there.
Mr. Herrera has his hand.
Councilor Herrera.
Thank you. You know, when we talk about turf and grass, and I did research on this years ago, but you know, one of the elements that comes into play, and I didn't hear anything about it, was the weather. I mean, you know, turf you can play in the rain, and grass you can't. You'll ruin the turf. So that, to me, that comes into play as far as a plus for turf. And I've always been a turf. We're in Oregon, so I thought that was important to bring that up because that's definitely a big factor. Thank you.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big deal on this side of the state, being able to play year round. So this is the equipment. Some of the stuff I didn't know what it was, so I had to kind of figure out what it was. But this is comes from various sources that, and the estimates of the cost. The numbers here are amortized with inflation over a 10-year period. So that in the sinking fund, so that as the, assuming we bought all the equipment up front with the field project, if we were to stow this money aside, we would have it available when the equipment needs replacement. So there is some spraying that's done to make sure that, especially with all the rain here, you can get lots of stuff growing in there. So they do, they still spray the turf, but not like you would grass turf. So a sweeper, broom, spreader. One thing I wasn't aware of, that they do paint the artificial turf, not just when they install it, but they have paint and paint remover. So, and then a field magnet, which is, I guess, how they pick up any maybe objects that shouldn't be in there, and rollers. So that total capital outlay for the two fields, $125,000, is what you'd be setting aside each year for the capital piece. And this is what, you know, you have to spread the rubber pieces that make it soft. And then there's the groomer, which spreads it out, and the sweeper. And that magnet bar is behind that sweeper. So just to kind of educate everybody on what these things are, at least I had to for myself. And then the annual care is, like I said, painting and paint removal, top dressing and infill, sweeping and brushing, turf repairs. Sometimes the seams tear and somebody's got to come in and fix them. The turf gets pretty hot, which I can attest to as a referee. So they do sprinkle the fields for the purpose of cooling it. And then the weed spraying, and of course, the labor to do all that stuff is, so that's a per field about $30,000, which is kind of what we were estimating, about a quarter time person for each field, two fields, about a half time, half of a person to do those things. So it was a good gut check, because we just talking amongst us, we're kind of guessing that. The data and research kind of verified it. So a total annual cost for setting aside equipment plus keeping the fields playable condition. And I think this is pretty conservative, as in the capital, I think it would come in lower. And the maintenance, I think we could bring it in lower, but trying to err on the conservative side, I think it's very safe. Say $185,000 a year. So partnership wise, since we last met, I was able to talk with the Women's Football League, and they're interested in expanding using these fields because they want to develop a flag football program for women. And they actually also could use this as a potential home venue for their games. But if we did that, they would need basically a grandstand and video capabilities, because apparently there's 61 teams, I think, across the country. And they're in their league, I think there's six between roughly Seattle and Eugene that play each other regularly. And nationally, they're trying to televise two games a week. So if it were to become their venue, which they would have a much more vested interest in financially, it just has to be able to have a stand and videography capabilities. They're going to provide a letter of support. And I've also talked with Mid Valley Soccer Club, and I got a very enthusiastic response from them, that they're interested and have been working with Marion County on this. And I've reached out to the high school. I think we've had some affirmation from them that they need more field space, but I don't have anything in writing from them yet. Hopefully I'll continue to work on that. So those partnerships could take on a lot of different forms. It could be an annual use for priority scheduling, an annual fee for priority scheduling. It could be hourly use. It could be somebody handling the scheduling of the field. we did the partnership like that in this, another city I was at. There was a group that already had scheduling software and they were doing some programming. So they said, hey, can we take over the scheduling? And we said, absolutely, because we don't have anybody to do that now. So I think those partnerships are out there. And then also sharing equipment. We might be able to cut some of these costs by sharing equipment with the high school or even maybe the other league that Shane was telling me about, the Cascade Football Club has their own fields.
Roland, Councilor Herrera. Hang on, you're on mute.
That raise hand work or not? I don't know, maybe I'm saying, you know, when you're talking about, I'm glad they talked about shared equipment because there's actually companies out there that you don't even have to buy the equipment that actually provide that service for now that there's a lot of turf fields. I'm aware of one in Portland. I don't know if there's one around here, but they actually provide that service of dressing and all that. And I think it's going to be more common. So that's one way maybe of cutting costs. I'm just throwing it out there. I did some research on this, like I was talking about, but they're, you don't have to buy all the equipment. There's some that you might have to have yourself to groom, but there are people that provide that service also. That's an option.
That's a good point. And I can add that to this presentation if we need to give it again. I think that's a good point because especially for this part of the state where rain is such an issue for playability, there's going to be a lot more use for it. Good point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the revenue generation opportunities, just from my canvassing of different facilities, private field facilities, they're more likely to have a flat rate. One, the Plex PDX field is $150 an hour, just flat. Another private field I saw, $125 an hour, flat. If you kind of work out, assuming people were able to pay that amount, it funds itself, you know, fine. If we look at other public models, the one on the right there is Lake Oswego, but there's also several other cities I looked at, and I put them in the document that you all should have gotten. I tried to click, make hyperlinks for references. And so they did a tiered fee structure. So for their own leagues, it was like $12 an hour, which is pretty low. And then if there was a tournament play for those leagues that were based in Lake Oswego, the cost was $40 an hour. And then $100 was, you know, if you're not affiliated with the city in any way or a local team, the rate was $100 an hour. So, but broadly speaking, most of the public entities had a mixed tiered, you know, I don't know if the school could afford $125 an hour or $150 an hour. I haven't tested that water yet. No. So I put out some different models and the ones, the Excel file you can play with and add, you know, change the per rate, any of those yellow boxes you can change in the Excel file to see how it affects it. But this first one is if there's a flat fee of $125 an hour, if it was booked three nights a week, that and used 9 months of the year, that would pencil out in the black. $205,000 over $185,000 in costs. So, if you know if that's possible, I don't know if it's possible. That's something I can't speak to. Is the demand for it yet? And that may not. That may be something that we kind of have to figure out as we go. If we split that up onto a two rate schedule. And say, well, on a lower rate, it's $75 an hour for two hours of the night and $125 for 1 hour. That's times two for both fields. So you'd have 6 hours of programming a night. That brings our revenues at $151,000. And then the last one is a three-rate model. And again, you can play around with these. It can be higher, lower, and you know, you can make a pencil out on paper. It's all going to be figured how we figure out the willingness to pay and the ability to pay, and how we maximize those fields by ability to pay. But I think three hours a night on each field is pretty conservative estimate. Obviously, on a Saturday, you're probably going to have them booked from 9 a.m. to possibly up to 10 o'clock at night. So I tried to, when I say 3 hours a night per field, that kind of, I was trying to average out over the week. That's 42 hours over the week. You know, the turf fields can handle up to, I think, 54 hours a week is what they can really handle. So other forms of income, we see these in baseball outfields, but also it's popular in soccer too, because particularly in soccer, because they don't have commercial breaks in televised soccer, so they have border advertising. So we've got advertising, sponsorships, naming rights, concessions possibility, and even gate fees for events possibly. So those are other possible forms of income. I've not included those other forms of income when I net this out here, but here's the three different rate models using those numbers versus the equipment fund, the maintenance cost, labor, and the total cost. So looks like let me switch to the bar graph there for so I cover up the numbers there. But you know, at a flat rate model using those same assumptions, we're in the green. The other two rates, we're going to be subsidizing it a little bit. So again, though, I would go back to, this is in the plan, these multi-use fields. The artificial turf is a cheaper cost. And so I still think we ought to go forward knowing confident that there's a pretty good revenue stream. It may not be 100% cost recovery, but I think we can provide a really, really good service to have two playable turf fields year-round, possibly. So I think that's the end of trying to wrap up what I put in the spreadsheets. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam. Questions? So I've got a couple. There's a third field just south of the two, the turf field. When you look at a picture of the master plan, if you want to go back to that graphic.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another multi-use sports field. At this point, that one is master plan to be, Councilor Herrera, I agree. Great job. That is something that could be discussed in the future for whether that's going to be grass turf or artificial, depending on how this one works out and the demand and the opportunities to do that. So there's nothing that we're doing here that would preclude how that field will be used in the future. Is that correct?
Right. You know, and the other thing I didn't mention, but we probably should have, is Director Lawyer is, you know, very much concerned that we make sure we have the parking to sustain these fields, which I think he's right on point with.
Absolutely.
But I think that would be the assumed in the original cost, but we should probably also consider maintenance of those those parking spots. But they would have a more than a 10-year lifespan.
That is true. And then the parking that's delineated in the master plan there, I know it's just kind of conceptual. Is there room for expansion of that? Because there's the two fields and then the shows the strip of parking. I don't know if we can do anything that's more of a dog leg. I know we're getting real close to Richard's house. I know it's our house, but anyway. And exactly, the neighborhood traffic impact. If we have easily accessible parking and or work with transit to come down. They can do the loop if we have that conversation with.
I keep hearing that, but for some reason, something tells me that one road in and out of there is just going to create a situation. But that's just me. I don't know.
Right. Well, that's why we need the circulation.
The circulation exists through the dog park parking lot and out the original entrance into the park.
Right.
So there is circulation. It may have to be reconstructed or add some pavement on the original roadway because it wasn't built to a road standard. Okay, it's built to a driveway standard.
And Bill, you don't see any problem with that parking, wrapping around Chumawa?
No, not really. I think from a parking standpoint, we really need to evaluate whether we would allow each one of the turf fields to be divided in two or not. Because younger soccer players could play on half of the full-size field, okay? If we're going to allow that, we need to provide the parking for that, which is going to be a considerable amount of additional parking. If we're not, then we just have to put it out there. You cannot use these fields that way. So that's something to be considered.
Yeah, and I was talking about that with Shane, and from my experience as a referee, with all those, just with soccer, football, and lacrosse, if you try to do sideways marking, it gets very difficult.
Right.
I think you'd end up trying to use the rest of the park.
Well, and we do use that that grassy area south of the sand volleyball for the concerts. And if there's going to be a larger usage, let's say that they're going to run four of the younger kids' soccer, that would come into play to be used as additional parking for that event. That would be after something that's part of the scheduling to make sure it doesn't conflict with an event at the amphitheater. But that's totally doable.
Well, the challenge with that, if you don't provide enough parking that's convenient to the fields, they're going to park where it is convenient, which is the Big Horn, the dog park, which those parking areas are already taxed and used and full all the time. So I really strongly believe we need to provide more than adequate parking as near the field as possible to encourage that to be used for events on the fields, and don't use other parking areas in the park that the public are going to need during events on the field.
Good point.
Yeah, and I think the outline space that we have there is going to be really sufficient.
I think there's adequate room, yes. I don't think there's a challenge for space. It's just a matter of initial construction costs. How much are we going to build?
Yeah.
And personally, Madam Mayor, I'm going to say this, and you mentioned close to the house. I'm sorry, Mr. Tenant. This is a park. We're using our park for the public's benefit. If you don't like it, you can rent another house.
I don't think Richard.
Kind of a hardline attitude, but I mean, honestly, it is our property. We should be able to use it the way we need to use it.
I totally agree. I don't think that Richard Walsh will object terribly.
No.
To seeing this built out. I had another question. It just went sideways. So you mentioned concessions. So one of the concepts that I have been pecking at for quite some time is converting the space down by the amphitheater where the charge house used to be into a plug and play for a food pod, where if an event wants to have food and concessions, they could roll it in a plug and play.
Sure.
So mentioning concessions for then that's a ways to walk. So and there might be two different events going on. Maybe there's something at the amphitheater that's going to have some capacity for plug and play once the green goblin is gone. But up by the sports fields, should we consider having a space that could become, they'll say, we have an event or a tournament where, guests plug and play. The tournament organizers know that there are two places that are programmed in. We don't provide it, but we say, here you go. These are mobile food vendor locations, plug and play. Because you always have to have coffee. Just saying, as a former soccer mom.
I would say it certainly can be considered. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is additional construction costs.
That's true for the, I mean, but for the pad.
From a space standpoint and those kinds of things, yeah, we have public water to the park now out by Shimala Road. So we could get water there. Power is available. It'd be a cost to get it all there, but it's available.
Well, and I'm thinking there might be a dual opportunity if those pads were closer to, let's say, the Big Toy, where food vendors pulled in. They could be there for an event, and Big Toy patrons could also enjoy that as well. So it would promote community gathering space over food and beverage, which is something that we've been talking about on, building those community engagement locations. Food and beverage does that. It doesn't necessarily have to be Budweiser. It can be Kelso Herrera. But to that point, if there is something that can, when we're looking at the overall layout, I would strongly recommend that we have a plug and play location. We don't have to build it all at the same time, although it might make more sense to do that. But to have a place for plug and play mobile food vendors. That could be part of the amenities that we offer to an organization, football, soccer, lacrosse, softball. Softball likes to eat and drink too. If you're going to have an event, you can also bring a couple of mobile food vendors.
Yeah, I think, you know, what comes to my mind is putting it on the south end of that parking area between the current parking and the new ones. You could line some trucks right up there and in the parking lot design.
The other, closer to the bathrooms. Go ahead, Ron.
I was just thinking, wouldn't that be closer to the bathrooms too?
Yep.
And I was going to say the other thing you might consider, I mean, obviously this is a master plan and, you know, the lines are dashed for a reason. That's the generalized area. But even if you moved the two fields a little bit further to the north, when you just look at the map, there's quite a bit of room between the outbuilding that we store our parks equipment in. And then you could theoretically put some food carts there on the other side of the restroom. And then you have a paved path out the front that people can walk in and be served by. I mean, that would be another option, because if this is a wildly successful development, there may be some needs or some desires to possibly expand those restroom facilities on a more permanent scale than just bringing in porta potties for big events too.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point, Shane.
And the bathrooms, just so we all are on the same page, the bathrooms were not designed and built for high capacity usage.
Right.
Remember, it's a septic system. It's not a sewer system.
I was going to say, because Bill, wasn't it like super expensive to, if we were going to bring in public sewer for that?
Not now.
Okay.
Because development brought sewer to the park boundary.
Oh yeah, because it's right there.
It's still not cheap to get it to the bathrooms because it's deep out in Shimala Road, but at least it's to the park boundary and not at 15th.
Future option.
It is. I mean,
and
today we wouldn't have a choice but to connect to sewer with a bathroom. We would not have a choice. We would have to hook the sewer.
Wonder, would it make sense to include that in the project?
It would be wise, I think, but it could be wrong.
Rather than doing it after the fact?
After the fact, you have to tear stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say at least get the line run, but
what's that?
I would say at least get the line run under the field. at least do that. Get it out from underneath the field so it could be connected up at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good plan. And we can do the same with electric.
I agree with Bill.
Yes, I already thought about the power. When we come off for the power, for the lights, make provisions for food trucks and make sure that the provision's there and not have to be back in the field to get to it.
Right. So running all that conduit as part of the process, getting everything undergrounded that we need to, will set us up for, you know, additional opportunities. And I know that thinking also about Kaiserfest, those fields, you know, you can't put any stakes into them for tents. But that said, that would be a whole lot more comfortable than hay.
Well, I'm gonna take the position. Those fields are not usable for Kaiserfest. They're gonna be fenced and controlled. I don't think we want to open the door to hold Kaiserfest on artificial turf sports field. And this just occurred to me, if they're as successful as we all believe they're going to be in use and all of that, August, perfect time for some kind of a soccer tournament to be hosted by Kaiserfest, don't you think?
I like your thinking.
That's a good thought, Bill. And you know what? Just to play devil's advocate, you've been up to U of University of Washington, how they have their tents up on turf?
I have not.
Well, anyway, they have them built into the turf with little covers. So I checked all that stuff out. But
yeah,
it's practical, and I agree with you, Bill, on your points.
My wife is a crafter, and some places they go, they're required, but they're not allowed to stake. They have weights for the legs for the tents. Yeah.
Big Jane? Bang.
Oh, I had not really thought about Kaiserfest, so I'm glad somebody brought that up. But I'm just wondering, is there any possible thought, and this may be a wild idea and not a good one, but, you know, we've been focused on these two side-by-side multi-use fields, but what if we did the artificial turf fields on the field that's, you know, furthest to the east and the one that's on actually the south side of the path, and that was our two fields? And then you could capture that space where the second multi-use field was, and it could be, now it could be just grass or extra parking or Kaiserfest tent or whatever. And you'd still have your two fields. They'd be separated by that, the pathway. But if you were doing centralized bathroom facility and food carts, you know, so they were the north and the south, that actually, I don't know. It was just a thought.
And bring them
about Kaiserfest. I think you could still fit the big tent and everything and utilize the parking. And anyway, that's all.
Huh.
I think it's a possibility. I think that's something maybe the designers would need to consider.
Would it be practical in terms of field maintenance, you know, jumping over here and then coming back down? I don't know. I'm just curious. That's not a bad idea, the thought, anyway.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it would increase construction costs because you're basically having two construction sites.
Ah.
If you put them side by side, they just come in and blow and go. They've got the whole area to do it. And I don't know what percentage of increase there would be, but you're moving your equipment from one spot to another, that kind of thing.
But I think the sports field on the south side being the grass, you have the adventure course, and you still have that hub feeling. And if we're able to bring in space, and we have the water, sewer, electric for food trucks, lights, etc., that could work for Kaiserfest, maybe on that that south multi-use sports field area.
Yeah.
And then a little spillover, because that large unprogrammed area south of that for expansion. I mean, it'd be a party all weekend. And then, of course, the amphitheater is there as well. And if we are able to get that charge house space finally programmed. I know I'm way off track from this conversation, but I think it's all part of that bigger picture of how to finish programming out this this space. Now, one thing you are going to hear, though, from former Councillor Jim Taylor is, where is the building that's supposed to have basketball and stuff inside? And that's not here anymore. And he was rather upset with me.
That was taken out of the master plan in the last update.
I know.
I thought he was aware of that. Am I wrong?
He's aware of it, and he's still upset with me. But I think that this is getting a capacity need. I know there's a capacity need for buildings. And that's probably a separate conversation later on.
But let me input this information. Through the last master plan update, the need was never expressed by anybody that was involved in the outreach by the consultant. Indoor hoop space or the volleyball space, that need was never identified.
Really?
It was not identified. And that's one of the reasons, the justifications that they, the consultants, were willing to even consider removing that multi-use indoor facility, because there was no need stated. I'm not saying there's not a need. I am not saying that. But through the process, it was not brought forward. Nobody spoke up. Nobody said anything. So
I think goes to Kaiser Station.
I don't think you're off base there, Councillor Herrera. But I think for this layout, you know, thinking through, you know, I'm coming there, my kids gonna be playing soccer, having the possibility for expanding restroom, food and beverage, being able to be part of the event, thinking about the applicability for Kaiser Fest and other uses that we would like to have be down there, the adventure course, if that is successful as they hope it's going to be, that is going to be an attraction as well.
Right. So, and I really think that to help keep Kaiser Rapids Park and its natural area as appealing as it is, the further we keep the intense use away from that, the better. In other words, put the sports fields up as close to the Schmal Road as possible. That's your intense use part of the park. The rest of it remains somewhat unchanged for the public to enjoy. And as we all know, there's a lot of use of that park, a lot already with what's there. So.
And I think as we talk about the natural areas and building out some of that trail system, that's going to come later on, maybe with some parks grants. But for getting this done, what I'm hearing from the group is we can do this. And then we bring in partnerships, we can do this even more doable. Councillor Herrera?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, you know, there's general feeling about this, you know, first of all, I want to compliment Adam. That was really well done. I mean, really, the options everything put together. But, you know, how I would be more comfortable if I knew we had solidified like a sponsorship or something that would really help sell this, because, you know, folks want to, you know, you want the, you know, I believe in doing the best, you know, being bold. And it's going to take some selling. That's what I think, because I really believe that we need, this could be a really good for our region and Kaiser. So that's just my two cents. I just want to get there, like I keep saying. So thank you.
So I think, Bill?
A couple of questions, Madam Mayor. First one is the agreement with the county that's proposed, I haven't read through the whole agreement, do they have any responsibility, involvement for operations and maintenance of this facility? My understanding is they do not. This is wholly on us.
They write,
right?
Okay. As I understand it, they write us the check and it's ours.
And we build it, we maintain it, it's ours. Okay, that's what I want to confirm that. So my other question is, based on the information Adam provided in the rate models, without $100 an hour fee, this is not self-sufficient. And are the clubs, primarily Mid-Valley Soccer, are they going to be able and or willing to pay that kind of fee? And if they're not, then this does not become self-sufficient and has to be, costs have to be covered.
So a couple of thoughts. One is that the rate structure that was used to illustrate this didn't take into account maybe lower cost reservation for practice times, like they do with the Little League complex. It's not the $100 an hour. I think that, I don't know if there's a different rate structure for scheduling practices. I'm getting a head nod from Adam.
I don't think there is, Madam Mayor. I think the rate structure at the Little League field is just per hour field use, whether it's practice or games. I may be wrong about that, but that's what the initial proposed fee structure or field slot rate information was when the agreement was signed.
So if we're going to, but if they come in with tournaments or larger events, then we're talking about the bigger revenue stream.
Right.
And then on top of that, to get to Kelsey Herrera's comment, once we know we're doing this, then it's going to be a whole lot easier for us and for Adam and the city team to enter into serious conversations with Mid-Valley Soccer and the women's football on the dollars that will come in to offset some of those ongoing costs. Kyle?
Have we given any thought to or put any numbers to getting people to sponsorships of the fields or any of that? Has any numbers been put to that? Because I know there's a money out there that we can get, and I really want to make this self-sufficient or make it a revenue stream, because it we're going to get beat up if it doesn't. It needs to be, we don't have the money out of parks, and we don't want to add more fees for this to be run. So we need to find the best way we can to fund it.
I'm going to go to Bill and then I'm going to Roland.
One of the things I have concerns about from a cost standpoint is, I think Adam captured the actual field labor costs for maintaining the fields, but what staffing needs are there going to be during events? I don't know if they're going to be needed or not. And if they are, that changes complexity a lot, because currently and historically, our parks division closes at 5 o'clock on Friday and it's closed for the weekend. Okay. So nights and weekend staffing adds a whole nother level of complexity to the parks division with added costs involved, because while it might take one FTE's time or efforts to do the physical work, we have to consider that person's going to take vacation. They're going to be sick at times. We have to backfill that position or those duties, if you will. Okay. So putting that whole plan together, staffing wise, that has not been accounted for in this yet. That's all I wanted to say.
So Roland, can I go to Adam real quick and then come to you?
Yeah, I just, there in all the facilities that I've either coached or refereed the last 20 years, there, in my opinion, you don't need staffing on hand. The staffing takes care of it. You put the responsibility, just like somebody reserves a gazebo or a park shelter, they have a security deposit. And they are expected to do this. What usually happens is the club president for the organization is the one who's making sure those things get done. But I don't think you have to have a person on hand for these events programming during the week or on Saturdays, Sundays. I think they maintain them during the regular business hours, and then the responsibility lies with the users.
Roland?
I keep going back to this, but I always put myself, I lived on Shoreline, and And I, you know, in talking to the neighborhood association and folks in that area, I'm not sure they bought in 100% on the impacts of traffic again. I know I keep bringing that up, but, you know, I want to make sure that we talk about it before on this end than down the road saying we should have thought more about it, you know. And I'm just putting myself in the place of the people that live there, because in my conversations with some of those folks there, they didn't seem like they were completely bought into it. I would like to see one of them at the table, see what somebody that lives in the area, because I don't think anybody here lives in that area, do we? I don't think so.
I do.
No, we kind of do, but
I live right off Shimano.
I would feel more comfortable because I know we all want.
I'll be impacted by it.
I'd love to see this, but I do want to make sure that they bought into it 100%, the folks that's going to be impacted by it. That's just me.
I think they're definitely going to be part of the conversation, and we're very much present at the work session, and we'll be part of that conversation as we go through the final design and so forth. But what I'm getting from the community, what I'm getting from all y'all, is that we can do this. And now we're talking about the how. So as we wrap up this hour, we've given some next level food for thought for more of the details. But at this point, I think this is ready to go to council for us to take a vote as a work group to make a recommendation to council that we accept the ARPA funds and proceed with the design and construction of the turf fields. So Kyle, Roland, do you feel ready to?
Will we be talking to the neighborhood folks again, or is this ready to go like
ongoing.
This? Okay. All right. Well then, yeah. Well then, I hate to sound like I'm, you know, doing the same thing, but it's kind of important to me that they buy in 100% on this. They're going to live right there. So.
Well, they live there. Bill lives in the neighborhood. Kyle is on the edge of it. I'm in the middle of that same neighborhood. So totally get it that everybody's going to have to be at the table, but also, you know, to keep reminding us of the pieces like we've just talked about in terms of the cost, in terms of, you know, the opportunities, making sure we considered everything from, you know, food to bathrooms and lights, security. Are all going to be part of design. But what I'm hearing from that, because we want to have that conversation, that we want to do this, and that the basic structure of accepting the $2 million from the county, but this is the key, it has to be not a 50-50. We need the full $2 million. And then how we do the rest of it in terms of sponsorships cost, in-kind donations, partnerships and so forth is on us, and our deliverable back to the county is that we built them. If they want to put anything else on that, or they want to reduce the amount of money coming in because we were able to get some in-kind, that's not going to help us. We need to know that theirs is a cash and that we have the flexibility to find other financing means for constructing the field. Adam, I saw you had a hand up.
Yeah, I did exchange some communication with Chris Epley about this, who's involved in this. And so he said, as for the acceptance, he said, I think an official letter stating that Kaiser accepts the $2 million with the understanding that the result is two multi-sport fields with the city contributing X amount of funding, in-kind labor, et cetera. Would be good enough for them.
Okay. So. Bill?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. How are we going to cover, are we going to commit, I guess let me change my question, are we going to commit ARPA funds to a level to complete this project? Construction costs are escalating very fast on a daily basis. With some of the additions we've talked about, we don't really know what the parking size is yet. We haven't established that. Maybe running a sewer line, adding some power, different things that need to be done while these fields are built. If this goes up to $4.75 million, for instance, is that gonna be two and three quarter million from the city of ARPA funds? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is we need to establish the funding level maximum, I think, so we know what we have to work with. So we know, so the council knows and the community knows what's left of the ARPA funds to be used throughout the rest of the city. Does that make sense? I didn't think I said that very well, the way I, what I really meant. But I guess what I'm trying to say is $4 million that's been talked about to build these fields may not be enough money. And if we're limited to $2 million from the county, we've got to make sure we can finish the project.
Right. And we also have the benefit of about $500,000 of SDCs.
That's true. I mean, that is a source. Absolutely.
So that's going to help out tremendously. This is one of those few projects that we can actually use SDCs for, the vicinity and the bank. So to the maximum level possible, SDCs, and then, you know, in-kind partnerships and so forth may also be of help with the actual construction. So what I'm wanting to give to council is worst case scenario, knowing that ARPA and SDCs, now I'll come to you, Kyle, in just a sec. ARPA and SDCs are cash. Knowing that we can reduce our cash outlay with the sponsorships and in-kind. Does that make sense? But I just want to make sure we give a worst case scenario. This is, you know, to your point, that the cash, we can do that. Do we want to? Oh, heck no. Do we ever? I don't think so. But again, planning for the worst and then working our tails off to supplant as much of the ARPA back into ARPA so we can use it for other things. Kyle?
I was basically going to say the same thing. I was going to say we propose to use $2 million of ARPA funds, knowing that we're going to have $500,000 and maybe up to $750,000 of additional in-kind to backfill any overages. And then if we don't use it, it goes back into using it for ARPA. So yeah, I was basically going to say the same thing. I think it'd be good to just know that we have the cash on hand to do what we say we're going to do, but it gets used other places if we don't.
Roland?
Oh, I'm just thinking all the fundraising I'm doing. But anyway, I still go back to the same thing, but we all have this desire to have this and the opportunity is there. And I see it's very simple to do this. But I just want to be very cautious as we go forward. You know, we all want the same thing, but like I say, I keep putting myself in that place. But, you know, we all want the same thing, and it's going to benefit a lot of folks. It'll help Kaiser in general, businesses, a lot of stuff. But I want to make sure everybody buys into it. That's my main thing again. So sorry about that.
Nope, you're right. Communicate, communicate, communicate. Transparency, transparency, transparency is going to be the key here. But then people will catch the vision. And with the excitement, I mean, look at the big toy. It was a concept that came to parks going, what do you think? And I'm like, wow, that's expensive, that's hard. And people leaned in, got excited. Debbie's logo is just fabulous for that, the big toy. She designed that, that was all Debbie. When people get excited, then you get the investment, the sweat equity, the donations and so forth begin to come in as people want to be part of a winning team. And this is part of being a winning team for the region. When you've got kids that can't afford to play soccer or softball, now they can ride their bike down there because mom is working two jobs and that kid can still play soccer. That's awesome. You've got the opportunity for kids to stay local instead of driving all over heck and gone. And it's going to be a little bit nicer to, on the part of the schools, for them to finally come and ask us. It's been kind of the other way around, and I'm going to enjoy that. Where they go, can we use your fields? You know what? I think we'll work with you. Wouldn't that be a nice change? Maybe they'll be a little nicer about their indoor sports facilities and in exchange. I want something for that, and I want them to open those up more because that gets to some of the capacity for the indoor stuff, and they've been awfully chintzy in the past, so let's play ball. Okay, any other questions, reservations, I'm not so sure. Are we ready to send this back to council? Any reason not to send this back to council before we put a motion on the table?
I'm good with it.
Roland? Are you ready to send it back to council?
Take it to council, but you know, like I say, if they chime in from somebody, I would feel better if somebody would chime in, but if we could still be negotiated there. I mean, I want to make sure that they say, hey, we're right behind this, we're with it. But you know, I know where what I want myself, but I got to consider what the folks that live there. And I think that they have to tell me, hey, you know what, we're all behind 100% behind this, you know, that's how I feel. So if it goes to council, where do we go from there?
Then we, with the recommendation to council to go ahead and with the agreement with Marion County to accept the funds, and then we start the, once that happens, then this goes to staff to start the design process, the costing, the scope, that sort of thing, that it will come back to council. But that's when all that can be out in the community, the fundraising, the in-kind, that's when we make the magic happen. And it's going to be an all skate. Everybody's got to be in. That's going to be fun. It's a community building. And just like the big toy was, a lot of people from the neighborhood walked over and were helping with it. And when everybody's got their hands in it and there's some ownership, there's going to be a lot of excitement. And when folks in, you know, in this neighborhood, their grandkids, kids and grandkids can go play, they're going to love going out there and watching them play. But, you know, again, it's building the momentum of the winning team.
The deadline's already coming up, right, for letting them know for sure that we're committed?
We need the Fisher Cup bait.
Okay.
This really comes back to council. Can we do this? The answer, what I'm hearing, is yes, we can. We've brought up some things that we would like considered in the design. We can bring that as part of back to the council as part of the recommendation that capacity for infrastructure such as power, water, and sewer be included in the design. Parking considerations, you know, start drilling down on the capacity, and that will be the next step. What did I miss, Bill and Adam, Shane, Tim, Debbie?
A solid plan to operate and not cost money.
I think you got it. And then what I would go back to is, you know, you have it, these things planned to be there. And if we just planted grass and tried to mow it, it would cost more than these fields.
And I'd love to see in the calculation the cost per hour of available use, because that really tells a difference. Because, you know, the grass is only available a certain time period, certain number of hours, and the turf is available. Closing.
I can add that.
We all know that we're not going to be running practices till 11 o'clock at night, not like the high school. So, but I think that kind of narrative also really helps tell the tale of the capacity that this is going to provide for the community.
Yeah, I have that data so I can add it.
Perfect. Shane, you used to live down there.
Yeah, one thing I was going to say, I think that just a from a citizen perspective, and also, yes, I'm super aware of the park and the amount of use it gets. But one thing I think is important, and I think Mayor Clark, you hit on it really well. You know, one of the elements with this advantage is advantageous location and kids being able to get there and use it. I appreciated that in Adam's numbers, he was looking at kind of on the average 3 hours a night that it would be used for. So I think being able to highlight that, hey, these fields will be available for the general public to go down and kick a ball and do things like that, so that everybody does have some access to it that aren't just involved in formalized leagues. That's, to me, that's a big element, I think, community-wide that can be sold successfully to say, hey, this is a good asset, because we know how you know, I've coached all the youth sports for a long time, and the different leagues, there's butting of heads and competitiveness and feelings of ownership that ends up happening. And sometimes those facilities end up feeling like, oh, well, that's their facility and no one else gets to use it. So I think that's something that in my mind could go a long way in getting that buy-in on a community-wide scale of how, hey, these facilities, there's this advantage and this advantage. And yes, hopefully financially, it's actually making the city money or breaking even. But the bonus is that this is a facility that can be open to the community at large when it's not, you know, fully programmed. So that's just my two cents.
I like it. Thank you, Shane. Okay, anything else we've missed? Thoughts? Okay, here we go. I move that we recommend to City Council that we accept the ARPA funds from Marion County to construct the two turf fields at Kaiser Rapids Park.
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Roland, Kyle.
I've said my two cents and we'll go.
So noted for the record that, and I completely agree with Councilor Herrera, that community involvement, particularly from the neighborhood, will be essential for the success of this project. So noted. And then also we will be seeking sponsorships, partnerships, but retaining control. This is going to be in control of the city, because to Kyle, to your point, no, Shane's point, that we want this to be a city asset because it belongs to all the people, not to one club or organization. And that's going to be a really important distinction from the Kaiser Little League Park. That I love that little park, that Kaiser Little League Park, but this is different. Okay, anything else? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Adam, Bill, and you guys, do you need anything else from us to be able to go back to council on June 6th? Roland?
One more thing. I just want to repeat what I said about the put together. I mean, I kind of caught up by reading this stuff because I missed the first meeting, and I apologize for that. I was actually in urgent care. You know that.
Yeah.
I like the way the numbers put together. I like the options. I like that they were thinking in terms of costs down the future, the increase of the, you know, and some of those things worry me because I used to do this with the fields in Kaiser, but it was very thorough. And like I said, I just hope it works out. You know, thank you very much for all your time.
Thank you. You guys need anything else from us to get ready for June 6th? I'm seeing no, and they're all good to go. Thank you all very, very much. This has been fabulously productive. And the time is 4:40 and we are adjourned.
See you, everybody.
Thank you.